I have a thought that the Lord has been talking to me about, and I really appreciate your prayers. I don't really have a lot of feeling of being able to do really anything up here without the Lord's help. So I really would appreciate your prayers.
I'm going to write a word on the board.
Procrastination. Merriam-Webster defines this as to put off intentionally the doing of something that should be done. And further, it explains that it comes from the Latin prefix pro, meaning forward, and crastinus, which means of tomorrow. The word means moving or acting slowly so as to fall behind. And it implies blameworthy delay, especially through laziness or apathy. Sometimes I think we call things procrastination that really aren't. I may be looking at a business opportunity and I don't take advantage of it. And sometimes I say, well, I'm procrastinating about it. But really, I'm just counting the cost. Or, weighing in my mind whether this is what I want to do. That's really not procrastination. Procrastination is when I know what I need to do. I've made up my mind, the action I need to take. And for some reason or other, I can't bring myself to do it right now. I'm going to do it later. May not have a good reason, so I'll make up one. Or I'll come up with one that'll convince me that I don't need to take any action right now. When maybe before, when I was in a different time, I would have looked at the situation more objectively and said, this is what I need to do and this is when I need to do it. I'll give you an example. I can set my alarm to get up early the next morning. And then I may stay up a little too late the night before. And that alarm jolts me awake. And before I went to bed, I calculated I've got to be here at a certain time. And so I need to get up at this time. And I want to sleep as long as I possibly can because I'm already going to bed too late anyway. And so I'm going to set this alarm for as late as I can and still get everything done that I need to get done before I have to be at work in the morning. And so I've got it all figured out. And then that alarm goes off and I wake up and it's amazing how I can reevaluate the importance of getting up right then. I can reason in my mind that it's not important after all, and it's amazing that I even ever listen to myself when I do that because I'm half asleep still, and the night before I had a clear mind, and now I've decided that I don't have to. I can sleep another 15 minutes, maybe even another 30 minutes, and I can get up later, and then I've got it in my half asleep state. I've got it reasoned out where I can get up later and still be fine. That's called procrastination. And so it's a little bit different than delaying, because we can delay for all kinds of reasons and that are legitimate. And, well, we should in many cases. The Lord lets us delay sometimes in things. And he begins to deal with us. And doesn't the scripture say that you shouldn't be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine? The Lord allows us time to evaluate things when He brings them to us and become convinced in our own minds. We shouldn't do it just because somebody said so, or just because we got captured in the emotion of whatever it is, but we should go into things with a sound mind, having thought about it, considered it well, prayed about it, and even the Lord will allow us to have some time to count the cost, whether I can really afford in myself to do this or not. And maybe He'll allow us some time to pray and say, Lord, I don't think I can, I just can't do this, but Lord, I want to do it. I want to get there. Lord, will You help me? That's not procrastination. That's building up courage and all that. The Bible has a lot to say about procrastination and different things. It says, with not hold good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go, come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. And so, sometimes I think that there's lots of reasons why we can procrastinate. I mentioned getting up early. One of the most common reasons is because we're comfortable in our current state. Wherever that is, I just ate a big meal and it tasted good and my stomach's full and I don't have a lot of energy to do anything very active. So I go and I sit in a chair, big easy chair. How easy is it to get up immediately if you do that? You don't really want to do anything real suddenly. And we can get that way in a lot of ways. This camp meeting is like sitting at a big table, isn't it? And we can get good messages and we can get really comfortable in things and say, well, I don't want to. I'm just so full. I'm just so full of these good messages and everything. You know, the devil, the Lord says to be sober and be vigilant. I don't know why, I don't know how many times that the scripture in effect says to be watchful. Those very words are very similar, the principle. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, and he'll get you in all kinds of positions. When you're sitting, whether in a physical sense or in a spiritual sense, and you have a feeling like you need to be doing something, whether it's just in a temporal sense or whether it's in a spiritual sense, you feel like, you know what? I really need to work on this. And that message was really good, but I need to be watching out for that. And we can have those things going on in the back of our minds. But in the front of our mind, many times, is the feeling that I don't want to right now. I want to sit here and I want to listen to the singing a little more. I want to get in on some more of this good camp meeting atmosphere. Whatever it is. And we have things that are in the back of our minds and we have reasons. How many reasons do you think that the devil can supply you and I in our minds for not doing something that we're supposed to do when we're supposed to do it? 5? 10? 50? He's got an unlimited supply. And I found that out, that if you have any kind of a wavering in your mind, that if you get into any kind of a rut and a routine, and there's already something there to keep me from, just something that's a natural feeling that makes it hard for me to get out of that routine to do something that I should be doing, the devil will give you a really good reason to stay right there. I think about Lot. I want to read a few examples here, but I've got some where I'm trying to go with this. Please pray for me. The men in Genesis 19, we read about Lot. And he had an especially merciful visit. He was a man that had already made some really big mistakes in life. And it says in the New Testament that they vexed his righteous soul daily, but he should have never been there to begin with. And the first we really read about him doing anything was when he bargained with Abraham, or rather when Abraham bargained with him and made this generous offer and said, there's not enough room for my flocks and yours. You take what seems good to you. I'll take what's left over. And Lot should have said, you're my uncle. You probably have three times as many as I do. And even if you didn't, respect demands that you have the first choice. So, uncle, I'll be very happy with whatever you think is good for me to go to. And uncle, where do you think I ought to go? What's going to be the safest for me? Not just for the prosperity of my flocks and herds, but I want to have faith like you do. How do I need to conduct myself? Where should I live? You know, those things affect our lives, the choices that we make, and even coming down to where we live and what kind of job we have, those things bleed over, don't think they don't, into our spiritual well-being. And it did into Lot's. And so we find eventually, I don't know when he did it, but he eventually moved right there into Sodom. And then the judgment day for Sodom came. And the angels, two of them, I believe, came after they had talked to Abraham, and they said to Lot, if we pick it up in the 12th verse of Genesis 19, they said, we're going to come destroy the city. And they said, do you have any here besides? Hast thou here any besides? Son-in-law, thy sons, thy daughters, whatsoever. Thank you. Thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. They didn't really have... I don't really know how much blame to attach to those sons-in-law, because they probably didn't understand. They hadn't been around Abraham. They hadn't grown up with a man of faith like that. But they probably, I don't know, I'm guessing that the Lord pricked their hearts a little bit. But when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him. And you know, there's times when the Lord will do that to you and to me. But we can't bank on that. We can't count on the Lord doing... You know, Lot knew he should have left. He knew what was coming. And he stayed there. Very, very bad idea. Very dangerous thing to do. And it's a dangerous thing for you and for me when we know when we need to do something. I tell you what, the burden of my heart this evening, obviously, is procrastination in a spiritual sense. We can procrastinate in a lot of ways. And we can separate them and say, well, procrastination in anything else except a spiritual sense, there's no harm at all. But I want to tie the two together just a little bit tonight, if you'll bear with me. I've worked for a company one time that would always, I would need something on the job. They'd send me out and I'd be out of state. And they were a company that always went gung-ho with everything they did. full tilt. They had their fingers into so many pies, and they were always busy. And I would need something on the job, and I'd call, and I'd say, "I need this." And they would say, "Okay, we'll get it right to you." And a couple days later, and I'd say, "You know, I don't have to have it yet." And well, they would want to know, "When do you need it?" "Well, I need it next Tuesday." "Okay, well, you have 6 days." "Well, that's about how long it's going to take to mail it, so that's why I'm calling. I need this pretty soon." And so I would call and remind them, "Oh, I forgot. I tell you what. Yeah, we're going to get that in the mail. When did you say you need it?" "Well, I need it Tuesday." "Well, we still have 4 days." So, and they'd say, "You know what? We're so busy right now. I'll get it to you. I'll make sure we get it to you." And I would call a lot of times the day before. And they would say, "Yeah, we're going to get it to you." And they would know the whole time. And they would end up time and time again overnighting that thing that I needed. Overnighting is expensive. So instead of paying, you know, $7 or $8 to mail it, they would end up paying $100, $120 or more. And this would happen every time. And you know that I'm not the only one that the things that they were overnighting to me, it wasn't the only thing that was expensing them like that. And I would think, you know, if they would get their act together a little bit better, they had to mail it to me. It's not like they couldn't do it. If they would reorganize their schedule a little bit, then they would save a lot of money, and they wouldn't maybe be quite so busy trying to make money because they'd, you know what I'm saying? Be a little bit more efficient. I want to tell you something. The things that we think we are too busy to do a lot of times are things that we really can't afford not to do. We think, you know what? I want to spend some real quiet time alone with the Lord. But if I don't go and get on this business project, I'm going to lose this. I'm going to lose the bid. I'm going to lose the account. You all that have a business or that, you know, work in business, you know what I'm talking about. The temptation is there to take your time and say, you know, the Lord knows. But the thing is that, you know, if it was once in your lifetime or even something like once a year where you had to really, there's times where all of us have a deadline and maybe we sleep right through our alarm or whatever, and we get up and we say, "Uh-oh, I have to leave in 10 minutes." There are times when that happens. But when we, over and over again, we say, "You know what? I know the Lord's been dealing with me about this, and I know I need to pray about it. But I have this I have to take care of, so I'm going to do that later. I know the Lord wants me to spend some time, and the Lord's been dealing with me about reading my Bible more and studying more and praying more and seeking the Lord, the face of the Lord more. But I have things that are important that I've got to get done." And we have reasons. We have good reasons. And we don't do it. And sometimes it's because of dishonesty, procrastination is. And we will tell ourselves, "I don't need to do that," when we do need to do it. It comes back to I want to bring again the scenario of laying in bed too long. When we reasoned it out the night before and we say, "I need to get up at this time," we have a clear mind and we know what we need to do and when we need to do it. And when the moment comes, "I have to get out of bed." This is a temporal thing, all right? But you can apply this in a lot of ways. I have to make a change. All of a sudden, there comes a reason. And we can reason it out and we can say, "Well, this is why I'm doing this." But the fact is that many times, I just can't make myself do that right now. I don't want to. I'm not strong enough. I can't make myself. And this is where I'd like to spend just a little bit of time. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27, he said, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Do you know that one of the biggest things that we're going to have to do in life is tell ourselves what to do? We're going to have to look at ourselves sometimes and say, "No, you can't do that." Or, "Yes, you're going to do that. And you're going to do it right now." You don't have the strength in yourself to always do that. But that's why we teach the importance of having the Holy Spirit, because He makes up those deficiencies. I remember a few months ago, I've told this a couple times preaching, and you all might think it's funny, but I didn't think it was funny. I was eating a bag of pork rinds. I love pork rinds. I love all that kind of junk food, and I have to really limit myself. But I was eating some the other day. I was reading something, and I was eating. And I ate one, and then I ate another, and I got the feeling, you know, you've enjoyed some. If you eat the whole bag, it's going to really have a bad effect on your body. You need to stop. And I ate another one. And in a little bit, the thought came to me, are you able to tell yourself no? Can you tell yourself no? And I said, and I don't credit any of this kind of stuff to myself, but this is what the Lord can help us do. I said, "No, I'm not going to eat one more pork rind. Not one, not half of one." I put the bag away. I said, the kids can eat the rest of it. I'm not going to have, I said it emphatically, I'm not going to have one more pork rind. And a lot of times we tend to look at the thing itself and say, this is not sin. I can do this because it's not sin. We preach against, you know, it's not like I'm drinking alcohol. I'm eating pork rinds. I'm eating cake. I'm eating whatever it is. This is not wrong. You know what's wrong? The inability to control ourselves by the Spirit of the Lord. Whether it's in eating or making ourselves get up when we need to get up, or telling ourselves no. I want to tell this person. They've got to know. How are they going to know if I don't tell them? They've got to know this, and so I'm going to go and I'm going to tell them how it is. We need to be able in those situations to be able to look, and the Lord can help us. The Lord can help us where instead of us coming up with a reason and saying, well, they need to hear it, so I need to tell them. The Lord can help us to say, you know what? Somebody else might do a better job of telling them. They might not need to hear that right now. Maybe I have some of my own personal feelings involved, and that'll make it go really bad. Many times that's the case. We have a sign out here in the hallway that says something about, if it doesn't start with love, it's not worth doing. Something like that. Have y'all seen that? It's engraved metal plate. And so we tend to look at the thing. Well, this is not sin. You know what? Paul said, I keep under my body. I tell it what to do. It doesn't tell me what to do. When I need to do something, Lord, help me, I'm going to do it. When I don't need to be doing something, Lord, help me, I'm going to say no. No, I'm not going to do it. The word no, it's one of the most powerful words that you can learn. And babies learn it really, really quickly. And that's a bad way that the way that they learn it. But you and I can need to learn it and keep it in our vocabulary and be able to look at something and say, no, I'm not going to do it. The Lord is my helper, and I'm not going to do it. Our biggest enemy is ourself. It's the one you look in the mirror at. But I'd like to read a scripture in James, the first chapter. The 22nd verse. says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. This is what I really want to talk about this evening. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Isn't that something? Before I go to bed, I set my alarm because I realize the importance of getting up at a certain time. But somehow, when that time comes, and I don't have the same, I'm not in the same frame of mind. I've done this, you've probably done it. Reset that thing, hit snooze, whatever. I am not telling you that if you do that, that that's a sin. Because there are times when maybe you actually do have a little more time. And maybe you feel bad and you didn't feel bad the night before. I don't know. There's, all right, don't go away saying, well, Brother Joseph said that I can't have a snooze button on my alarm. I have a snooze button on some of my alarms. But it says that he beholdeth himself and goeth his way. The next morning when that thing goes off, I don't think the same way. I feel differently about the situation. We have the privilege in these services of having the Lord come in the form of conviction, which is one of the greatest gifts that I believe that he's given us. And the Lord, I so appreciate the messages that we've heard so far. The one that we heard the other night where the Lord will come by and we have the opportunity to say, it's me. Yes. This is me. Yeah. I can blame everyone else. And if I blame everyone else, I'm not going to do anything. You know, procrastination is something that's not, I'm not just speaking to the sinners here this evening. If you're a sinner, procrastination is a very bad thing. We heard just earlier how I think someone very young went out into eternity. And, you know, people do that every day. People that had no idea 5 minutes before that that's what they were going to do. But also, there are people that come to services like these. I've felt it. I sit in a service and the Spirit of the Lord comes by through all kinds of different vessels, and he'll put his finger on a place in my life, and he'll say, and I'll know, I need to do something about this. But not now. Because I want to go pray by myself. I'll be embarrassed if I go down there. I want to do it tomorrow for any number of reasons. There's a person here tonight. I don't want them to see me go to the altar. I'll go tomorrow. It says that a person that beholds himself hears the voice of the Lord and then goes away and is in a different situation, doesn't have the same frame of mind that he once did. The feelings of conviction, have you felt how strong it can get in here sometimes? Yes. And the Lord will put his finger on something and we feel, yes, this is me. This is what the Lord is talking to me about. Never mind what the person in the next pew, the Lord may be dealing with them about something. Don't think about the other people and about how good the message is for them and how glad you are that they came. Be thinking about, Lord, what do you have for me in this? And then you may have a realization. It's me. He wasn't talking about the guy in the next bench. This is talking about me. And you have that realization. You know that's a gift from God. The Lord being merciful to you just as he was with Lot. And he comes and he puts his hand on you and he says, will you let me help you with this? And that feeling can go away. And that's the danger of procrastination. One of them. Because we can go away and the next morning we don't feel the same way that we did last night about it. The logic doesn't work to our mind. The sense of urgency is gone. And we have all kinds of reasons why I can carry on with life. Business as usual. Opportunities. The Lord gives windows of opportunity. I'd like to close with a scripture in Acts, the 24th chapter. Paul went and talked to Felix. 24th verse, it says, after certain days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. There were some things that Paul said that found their way home to Felix's heart. And he made a decision, as all of us have to do when we sit in settings where the Lord puts his finger on us. And he says, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. But those convenient seasons never come. It didn't come. If Felix, I don't know the history of Felix, maybe some of you do, but if he ever ended up giving his heart to the Lord, I can guarantee you that he had to do it in a season that was not any more convenient than the one that Paul presented to him. Do you know the Lord is not trying to keep you out of heaven? The Lord wants you to go to heaven. He wants you to learn of his ways. He wants to give you grace. He wants to give you victory. He wants to lead you to higher places. But you can't do it in your way, on your terms, with your feelings, in your sense of what's convenient for me right now. Sometimes you have to do it at times when the mouthpiece is someone that, or something, the opportunity is something that's an offense to you. I want to caution you about being be careful about who you dismiss in your mind and say, well, you know, he says this about this and this, and there are legitimate problems with people sometimes. But when we go around and we build up in our minds why I don't have to listen to what this message and this message and this message because this person believes this and this person does this, I want to tell you that the Lord, if we really are honest with ourselves, whether the person actually has a problem or not, the Lord can speak to our hearts through sinners sometimes. And many times we come up with excuses and say, well, I don't have to listen to this because of the person. Many times the Lord will send things that we intentionally have to get over because it is one of the things that is, I'm trying to explain it. The Lord said it is impossible, but that offenses will come. The Lord made it so that many times you and I are going to have to get over offenses in our own mind and in our own heart, things that we've manufactured because we use those things as reasons to procrastinate. If the Lord's talking to you in this meeting about anything, I would encourage you to look within and say, Lord, I want to know, is this me? And if you have the feeling that it is, seek the Lord about it and say, Lord, I'm going to do what you have me to do. Don't make excuses and say, I'm not going to deal with this right now. Don't look at it and say, I don't want to change my current state right now. I just want to roll over and be comfortable for a little while longer. Give yourself to the Lord. I beg you. Amen. I feel like the Lord has given me just a few more words to say. A while back, I got sick. When I get sick, a lot of times it keeps me up at night. And so I was in the middle of the night. I opened my Bible and reading the scripture that said, be diligent, that you be found of him without spot and blameless. And a sense of urgency came over me. And I got on my knees and I said, Lord, I don't want there to be anything when you call for my soul. I don't want there to be anything that would block you being able to say, enter into the joy of thy Lord. If I've done anything, Lord, would you help me to know if there's a spot there, if there's something? I'm not talking about faults that the Lord has yet to reveal to us. We all have those things, don't we? But this is not that scripture. I don't believe it's talking about that, because the Lord will be refining us until we die. But I said, Lord, is there something that maybe I've overridden in the past? I felt a sense of urgency about it. And immediately the Lord brought something that I had said to two different people and said, you need to go back and clear that up. You need to make this right. It was something that I needed to make an apology for. And so I said, oh, I wrestled with it. And finally I said, okay, I'll do it. And a few days went by. Hadn't done it yet. And then I forgot about it. And then I had to go out of town on a trip. And I didn't really have a good opportunity. And I told the Lord, Lord, I'll do it. If you'll let me wait until I get back, I'll make it right. So I went out of town. And I came back. And one of those people had to work for me. And as we were working there, and there were times when I thought, you need to tell this person and this person this. And I always had a reason. Well, I can't do it right now because of this. And by the way, it was a really tough thing to say. Don't think that doesn't have anything to do with the way our reasoning is. And so one day I was there, just me and the other person. We were working at a customer's house and the customer was gone. And the Lord spoke to me and said, when could you ever have a more perfect time? And I still didn't want to do it. And a fear came over me, if I don't do this now. But I couldn't hardly make myself do it. And that feeling was so strong that I almost didn't make myself do it. But I thought, if I don't do it now, what's going to happen? Do you know there's a scripture that says that where the tree is leaning, what's that scripture in Ecclesiastes? That if it falls toward the north, that's where it's going to be. And I want to tell you something. There are things, and the Lord will be merciful. And I believe he was merciful with me, and he kept pricking me and kept putting pressure on me. And he'll do that to us sometimes. But there is a point of no return in those kind of things. There's a point where we can lose our salvation over one spot like that when we don't yield to the voice of the Lord. And when a tree is leaning, I've seen trees that are leaning before and trees that I've had to cut down that were leaning before, and you have to do special things to make it fall where you want it to fall. But once it's down, good luck getting that tree to be anywhere else except where it fell. It's not going to be. And I just thought of the song that we were singing and how at the best you may get around 90, 95 years here. That's the people that live pretty long. And then you have eternity that stretches on and on and on. And I think there are probably a lot of people right now that are saying, how I hated instruction. And all I had to do was go and do this. And I had a reason why I couldn't do it that day. And because of that, my tree was leaning. It was leaning in that direction. A tree doesn't have to fall in the direction it's leaning. There are things that can correct that and cause it to fall in a different direction. Sometimes wind can blow a tree in a different direction. You may be leaning in a direction tonight, but as long as you're here, and as long as the Lord's talking to you, you have the opportunity to not fall in the direction you're leaning. Be diligent that you may be found of Him without spot and blameless. But once your tree falls, that's it. 90 years, 150 years, 300 years. What do you suppose the rich man that said, I'm going to tear down my barns and I'm going to build bigger ones? What do you think he'd have to say to you right now? I feel so sorry for that guy. And you know, I fear that there are people that make that same kind of decision every day. Lord, help me and all of us that our tree, if it's leaning in the wrong direction, that we will correct that. You pray for me.